2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 9 is where we begin. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please let me go over and take off his head." And of course, if you were with us last time, you know that this dead dog is a reference to Shimei, who, when David was fleeing for his life from the city of Jerusalem and his son Absalom, came out and threw rocks at him and cursed him. And here, Abishai, one of David's loyal men, said, "Let me go take his head off. He shouldn't be allowed to do that to you, David." Well, verse 10, "But the king said, 'What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who then shall say, why have you done so?'" Notice how David believed in the sovereignty of God. God allowed, he allowed Shimei to curse him. And David recognizes that. David knew that he was getting everything that he deserved, and probably not as much as he deserved when it came to punishment. And so he wasn't going to stop Shimei from cursing him. You know, he wasn't going to stop that. He figured he had that coming. Even though he was wrong about what he said, Shimei was wrong of accusing him of stealing the throne from his relative Saul. That didn't happen, yet David knew that he was guilty of terrible sins and he deserved to suffer. And he continues in verse 11, "David said to Abishai and to all his servants, 'See how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him.'" And again, David is trusting in the sovereignty of God. If he's doing it, God must have allowed it. And if God allowed it, he knew what it was all about. He knew he was going to curse me, and God, if he wanted to stop him, he could have stopped him, but he didn't. And so God wanted me to experience this terrible shame, and really the false accusations too. That's not God's will. And yet God is certainly using it to punish his servant David. But David looks beyond the immediate punishment. Verse 12, "It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." You know, maybe God will feel sorry for me. Let him continue to curse me. Maybe God will feel sorry for me, you know. And maybe he'll bless me as a result of this really unjust punishment that I'm receiving from Shimei. I deserve to be punished, but not from him. So maybe God will see it and he'll bless me. 13. "And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him and kicked up dust." Well, he's just throwing a tantrum and continuing to throw rocks at David. I'm telling you, David showed a lot of forbearance here, didn't he? He's trusting in God. Just let him do it. Let him give me his best shot. Maybe God will be my shield and my buckler. Maybe God will step in and stop him. But he wasn't going to step in and stop him. That's kind of the way David always was. He always let the Lord fight his battles for him. 14. "Now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there." So they stopped, took it easy for a little while. Long journey, they needed to rest. Verse 15. "Meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with them." And remember now, Ahithophel was the advisor, and we'll see what kind of advice he gives to Absalom. So Absalom is now in the city of Jerusalem. "And so it was," 16, "when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom, that Hushai said to Absalom, 'Long live the king, long live the king.'" And remember, Hushai was David's friend. And Hushai was David's friend, who David said, "Go back to Jerusalem, keep an eye on Absalom, and if you get a chance, give him some faulty advice." Verse 17, "So Absalom said to Hushai, Is this your loyalty to your friend? Why did you not go with your friend? And so Absalom, he knew how close Hushai was to his dad. How come you didn't go with him? Where's your loyalty? Thought for sure you would stick with my dad. 18, and Hushai said to Absalom, no, but whom the Lord and his people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. In other words, look, my loyalty is not to a man, even your father David. My loyalty is to the Lord, and if he sees fit to put you on the throne, then I'm going to serve you. And of course, he was just telling a lie. He was deceiving him. I guess you could say this was a time of war, and this sort of covert activity is understandable in a time of war. 18, and Hushai said to Absalom, 19. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? As I have served in your father's presence, so will I be in your presence. Look, I served your dad faithfully when he was king. Now you're king, and that's the issue with me. And I served your father. I'm going to serve you. Why would I not? 20. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give advice as to what we should do. So Absalom immediately turns to Ahithophel, because Ahithophel had been on his side throughout this whole thing. 21. Ahithophel said to Absalom, go in to your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong. So go in and lay with all of your father's concubines, his secondary wives. And that would be a way, if a new king would lay with the former king's wives, that would be a way of him really burning his bridges behind him and saying, I'm taking over. And I want everybody to know that I'm serious about this. 22. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house, and Absalom went in to his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. See, that's the key. He did it in the sight of all Israel. This was not about having sexual relations. This was about dragging his father through the mud. This was about when you had relations with the king's wives, you were claiming to be king, okay? And this was a very definite way of doing that. And he did it in front of all the people. Everybody knew what he was doing. Everybody now knows that this is not just some kind of a temporary thing, but Absalom meant business about taking over the throne. He is trying to solidify his place as the king in Judah. 23. Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So he was like the top advisor. And the kings went with what he said. Chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, now, let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. Some more counsel from Ahithophel. And he's used to being listened to. So he wants to get 12,000 men together and go after David. Strike him right now while he's unprepared, while he's fleeing. 22, or I should say verse 2, I will come upon him while he is weary and weak. He'll be discouraged. He'll be tired. He'd been running all day. And I'll make him afraid. He's already probably in a panic because he's had to leave home. His son is after him. He's lost his kingdom. He's afraid. And I'll hit him right now. See? And all the people who are with him will flee. And I will strike only the king. Nobody will stand by him because they'll all be weak. They'll all be afraid. 3, then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace. I'll kill the king, I'll kill your dad, and I'll bring back all the people, and then they will serve you. Ahithophel had this all planned out. And you know what? It was probably a pretty good plan. And notice verse 4, and the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel. So everybody agreed. This was a great plan. You know, Ahithophel gave good advice. He had the reputation of giving good advice, and this was pretty sound. 5, then Absalom said, now call Hushai the Archite also, and let's hear what he says too. You're going to get a second opinion. Normally that's a pretty good thing to do. This time, if Absalom wanted the victory, he should have just stuck with the good advice that Ahithophel gave him. So verse 6, and when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up. What's your opinion, Hushai? Do you think we should go with Ahithophel? Everybody seems to agree that it's a good idea. What say you? 7, so Hushai said to Absalom, the advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. And that is not something that people normally did, contradict Ahithophel. But remember, Hushai is there not to give good advice and not to follow good advice that other people are giving Absalom, but to give advice that is counterproductive. And so that's why he goes against this advice of Ahithophel. He continues, verse 8, for said Hushai, you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war, and he will not camp with the people. Look, your dad knows how to fight, Hushai says. And they're mad. Him and his mighty men, they are ticked off because they've been run out of town. You think this is a good time to attack them? I don't think so. Notice verse 9. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place, and it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first that whosoever hears it will say, there is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. So notice, well, let's read this again. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place. He's practicing guerrilla warfare. Man, you know your dad is great at this. He's not going to be a sitting duck for you. He's smarter than that. And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first that whoever hears it will say, there is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. So they're going to kill some of your people, sure enough, Hushai says. And when that happens, the tide is going to turn against you. The momentum will be on David's side. Notice 10. And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. So all it's going to take is one little victory, Hushai says to Absalom, and your pa's going to get it, and that's going to turn this whole thing against you. You better be careful. He's trying to put fear in the heart of Absalom. 11, therefore I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, like the sand is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. And so we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. So, well, let's just wait. Let's really gather a big army, and then we'll go after him. And of course, what he's doing is he's giving David time to catch his breath and prepare for an attack, which David was not prepared for at this point. 13, moreover, if he has withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there. So, you know, he's given this advice, and he's sugarcoating it. It's going to be a piece of cake. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel, for the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. So God was in the whole thing. God was allowing David to be punished temporarily. This was a chastisement. But in the end, he was working all things together to give David the ultimate victory over the rebel, Absalom. Now, God may allow you to suffer some losses. He may allow you to be chastened for your own good. But in the end, if you stay close to him and you belong to Jesus, you're gonna be better off in the long run. And you're going to win in the long run.